Welcome to Week 6 of your audio interactive lecture, Breaking Bad News. In your readings, you learned about the main workplace genres, emails, memos, letters, and instant messages. To help you review what you learned, this session will begin with a short quiz, which is not for marks, about the chapter. If you want to reread it, here's a link to the chapter. After the quiz, we'll focus in on how to use these genres in a particularly tricky kind of way, breaking bad news. But first, since it's the beginning of a new module, let's take a moment to think about the mind map that you created with your group for Module 2. Hopefully, you were able to find some connections between the first and second module. You can consider, what are the most important ideas that have come up so far? What are your unanswered questions? How do you think you'll use the knowledge you gained in Module 1 and Module 2 in this module? Did everyone in your group make the same connections? Did anyone disagree? You don't have to have the perfect answers to these questions, but taking a few moments to reflect will help prepare you for success for Module 3. So, let's do a short quiz. I'll read out the questions and then the answers, and then I will tell you which is the correct answer. And the goal here is, again, just to help you reflect on the readings that you did. Question 1. How does the CMAP model help you choose what genre, so email, memo, letter, to send? A. By considering your context, message, audience, and purpose, you'll be able to choose a more effective genre. B. Because it helps you with revision. Or C. CMAP is only useful in situations with maps. And the answer is A. By considering your context, message, audience, and purpose, the goal is that you'll pick a more effective product. Question 2. When choosing a genre, which of the following questions should you ask yourself? A. How quickly does my audience need this information? B. How does my audience expect to receive this information? C. What way is this information normally sent to my organization? Or D. All of the above? And the answer is all of the above. Those are all important questions to ask. Question 3. What is an email frame? A. When you begin the email by telling the reader what to expect, and B. And end it by telling the reader what to do. B. The chain of emails that people have responded to. Or C. The to and from lines. And the answer is A. So again, an email frame is when you begin by telling the reader what the email is about. And then the end of the frame is when you end it by telling the reader what you want them to do next. So please let me know if you have any questions, or if you can send me this information by Friday, that would be great. Next question. What is the purpose of a memo? A. To get a quick response. B. To have a conversation. Or C, to broadcast information, usually within an organization. And the answer is C. So the difference between a memo and an email is that an email, you can have a conversation. Whereas a memo, you're simply broadcasting information. You're not expecting a response. Next question. Which of the following statements is true about email? A, unless you're sending bad news, you should tell the reader why you're writing early in the email. B, when you work for a company, you own your emails and have the right to privacy. C. Emails are always informal. The answer is A. So, because people are busy when they're reading emails, usually you should begin by telling them why you're writing. Doesn't have to be in the very first sentence, but early in the email, unless you're sending bad news. And it's interesting to note that when you work for a company, you don't actually own your emails. The company owns your emails. And you don't have the right to privacy. Also, emails can have different tones, so they're not always informal. Next question. Is it okay to send an instant message to your colleagues at 11 p.m. at night? A. Yes, you should always be able to reach your coworkers. Or B. No, unless your company is global and has rules about communicating across time zones, sending instant messages late at night is often considered rude because the message notification might wake people up. And the answer is B. So let's do a free rate. Breaking bad news looks different in different cultures and even different families. That's one of the reasons it can be so tough to do. To begin, let's reflect on our experience with breaking bad news. Set a timer for 5 minutes, then write on the following topic. How do people break bad news or deal with conflict in your family or culture? And you might want to pause here. And take a look at what you've written. Our conflict resolution skills are deeply ingrained, so it's helpful to take a moment to reflect on, do I break bad news the same in every situation? What about the approach to bad news or conflict I take that I've learned is useful? What about the approach to conflict that I've learned is not useful? So we've learned that whether you're writing an email, a memo, a letter, or a text, you should focus on helping the reader to understand your message quickly. There is, however, one exception when you're breaking bad news. When you break bad news in the workplace, you have 7 goals. 1, be clear and concise to minimize the chance of confusion or back and forth. 2, help the reader understand and accept the news. C, maintain trust and respect for the business or organization and for the receiver. 4, avoid legal liability or admission of guilt or culpability. 5, maintain the relationship even if a formal association is terminated. Now, this only applies to situations where you want the relationship to continue. 6, to reduce anxiety associated with the negative news. And 7, to achieve the desired business outcomes. So when you break bad news, you can take the direct or indirect approach. And here we're going to focus on the indirect approach. Now, you probably recognize this approach if you've ever received a form rejection from a job or a university. The indirect approach for delivering bad news has 5 main parts. 1, open with a buffer statement. 2, explain the situation. 3, break the bad news. 4, redirect or provide alternatives. 5, end politely, looking to the future. Let's take a look at how this looks in action. So, the following email has used different emphasis on the font, you know, to show the parts of the model. So I'll read it out loud. So again, open with a buffer statement, explain the news, break the bad news, redirect to provide alternatives, and end politely looking to the future. Thank you for applying to our scholarship fund. So that's the buffer statement. This year, we had 150 applicants apply for just one scholarship. So that's explaining the situation. The average GPA was 3.74, and we were impressed by applicants' extracurricular activities. Again, more explanation. Though we are impressed by your application, we unfortunately did not select you for the award. So you're breaking the bad news, breaking it once, clearly. We would, however, like to draw your attention to other scholarships that we administer, such as the Young Scholars Achievement Fund. The deadline is July 1st, and information can be found on our website. So here's where we're providing alternatives. Thank you for applying to our scholarship fund. We wish you the best in your academic journey. So here, we're ending politely, focusing on the future. So you can see that if we wrote this message in a direct approach, that it wouldn't be as effective. The direct approach puts the most important information first, the explanation or details in the middle, and a call to action at the end. Using a direct approach can often give the message a harsh or uncaring tone. So here's an example of direct approach. You were not selected for the award. This year, we had 150 applicants apply for just one scholarship. The average GPA was 3.72, and we were impressed by the applicants' extracurricular activities. Please check out the other scholarships we administer, such as the Young Scholars Achievement Fund. The deadline is July 1st, and information can be found on our website. As you can see, the indirect approach works well if you have to break bad news to a larger number of people. Depending on your relationship with the person, however, you will likely want to adapt this model. Because as you can see, because it's so commonly used, it can sound a little bit robotic. So take a look at this scenario and think about how you would react. You run a clothing boutique and your friend makes specialty candles. Last summer, you offered some of her Summer Breeze collection candles in your store. Unfortunately, you got a lot of complaints about the candles and many customers returned them, then left bad reviews on your Yelp page. Your friend just told you that she has a new line of candles and wants to offer them in your store. You have to tell her no. What do you do? So your answer will depend on your relationship to your friend, how your friend has reacted to negative news in the past, your cultural background. So if you come from a culture with saving face, you might approach it differently. You might come from a culture where some people are where you're blunt with friends, but avoid breaking bad news in business contexts. Your other values. Would you tell a small lie to save your friend's feelings, or would you be honest? Your conflict style. Do you avoid conflict or embrace it? What outcome you want? Do you want to make it clear that you won't be working with her again, or would you be willing to sell the candles if she made some changes? All of these factors will influence what the right answer is. The right answer with one friend might not be the right approach with another. In this situation, however, it's sometimes helpful to reflect on the best case scenario. What's the best you can hope for in this situation? What would be the worst outcome? What is the most likely outcome? As you can see, breaking bad news requires a lot of reflection. Hopefully this mini lesson will help you break bad news more kindly and humanely throughout your professional life. For more information, read the chapter Breaking Bad News.